This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's start with Christian Yelich. He had lower back surgery, played in just 73 games last year. If Christian Yelich can stay healthy, Dan, then?
The Brewers are a legitimate factor. It's amazing what they did the last few weeks of the season and into the postseason, because last year, Sierra, Yelich established himself as a premier player again, and they desperately missed him down the stretch, and they missed him in the postseason. You look at the injuries, they've gone from the oblique to several back issues. This guy is a really good player, and we haven't seen enough of him due to injuries the last few years. If he's healthy, Brewers legitimate shot, along with the Cubs and the Reds, to win the Central.
But he picked the Cubs to win the Central, did Dan Plesac. He did. I saw it with my own two eyes. Sierra Santo and Dan Plesac on MLB Network. Time to talk some Brewers baseball with our guy Jack Stern from BrewerFanatic.com. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Jack Stern, follow him on Twitter, by Jack Stern. How are we, Jack?
Doing great, Sparky. How are you?
I don't know. I just got done yelling about Gutekunst for a segment, and now I have a feeling I'll be yelling about the Brewers for this segment, and it just never stops on this show. Okay, so I have lots of different things to get to. But first, let's talk about what Plesac just said. Plesac pretty much said that this all revolves around Yelich, that if Yelich is healthy and Christian Yelich, that this team will be as good as anybody in the Central. Does it revolve all around Yelich for you? Because if we're being honest, the man's not been healthy for a full season for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it really just revolves around the offense as a whole, but Christian Yelich is obviously a very big part of that. When I look at this Brewers team, there's a lot of guys coming back from last year, which makes this group a little different than we've had the past couple seasons. But the offense is really the question, because one of the only losses that they have is Willy Adames, who hit 32 home runs for them last year and was a perennial 30 home run threat every year he was with the ball club. Yep. So they didn't do anything to replace that power. That's 30 home runs out the door. I mean, that's a big deal. I've done the math before, and if you take that out, that basically puts last year's Brewers team from middle of the pack power-wise, which is, you know, good enough to be competitive, to near the bottom of the league power-wise, which frankly is not good enough. So Yelich is definitely at the center of that. If he comes back and he hits the way that he was hitting last year, even close to that, he was on pace for about 20 home runs last year when that back injury knocked him out mid-season and he had to undergo surgery. So he's not the only guy I'm looking at. You're also going to have to kind of put a star next to a lot of guys who you're hoping are going to have to take a step forward, especially in that power department at the plate.
I've got one
for you. Christian Yelich is definitely part of that.
Okay, Jackson, I got one for you. If you were going on a Potawatomi Sportsbook, right, and you had to make a wager, throw some shekels down, right? If you had to throw some shekels down, who will have a healthier season, Garrett Mitchell or Christian Yelich? Who you got?
I think I'm going to say Christian Yelich, actually. If the back injury is behind him, which it sounds like that's what the case is now. If he's got this surgery, he was talking about, you know, to all of us in the clubhouse about how he felt like he was able to move around in ways that just were not possible for him even shortly after that surgery, talking about how he just felt better than he had in years. I think if that's behind him, you're looking at a pretty healthy season. The thing we got to look at too, Sparky, is that even when he was dealing with that back injury, even in recent history, this is still a guy who has played in more games in recent seasons than Garrett
Jack.
Mitchell has. I think for Mitchell, it's just I need to see it to believe it. I need to see that healthy season.
That's my problem! I was hoping you were going to say the younger Garrett Mitchell. I really was. I was like, oh, please, get my hopes up that Garrett Mitchell's finally going to be healthy. Because if you talk about replacing 30 home runs, right? Clearly, we'll get to your Vinny Capra piece in a second. But clearly, it's not happening at third base. So if it's not happening there, you're going to have to make up with it with a combination of Yelich. I agree. But Garrett Mitchell is capable of hitting 20 to 25 home runs if he can ever stay on the baseball field.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for him, it's not just health. It's also the swing needs to be better than it's been so far in the big leagues. But if you're putting together like a power ranking of sort of players who should be hitting more home runs for the Brewers if they stay on the field, I think number one, William Contreras is on that list because he hits the ball as hard as anyone in baseball but can't get it off the ground enough. Yelich is on that list as well because of the raw power and what we've seen him do before. But Garrett Mitchell's also on that list too because another guy who's got a lot of raw power, you know, StatCast can track bat speed now, how hard you're swinging the bat. Garrett Mitchell has the highest average bat speed on the team. And if you've just watched this guy with your eyes, I think you'd be able to come to a similar conclusion. The raw talent's always been there, but it's just been the swing path, really. It's a combination of, number one, he's got that hole at the top of the strike zone that has led to a ton of swing and miss up there, even more than the rest of the league, comparatively speaking. But he's also a guy who needs to elevate the ball a little more. That's something that he appeared to be working on over at Driveline Baseball over the offseason. So for me, it's really that combination of, number one, the health does need to be there. And again, I need to see it to believe it at this point. And then number two, if he's healthy, is that swing path going to be cleaned up a little bit? Is he going to have a better approach that's going to help him tap into that power?
Jack Stern, BrewerFanatic.com. He must follow on Twitter at @ByJackStern. Must read as well. He dives way deep into stuff, and it's all really, really good stuff. Okay, Jack, so let's talk about this stuff from Pat Murphy earlier today, talking about Jackson Chourio getting a chance to play in center field more this year. And, of course, you know, he's being him sarcastic. So, well, we got to see if he could even catch a ball last year in spring training. But now he's going to let him go try and play center field. What do you read into that idea?
I think this is partially related to Blake Perkins going down with that injury. Now that means you're going to have days where that center field spot is going to be open, especially if Mitchell's not out there every single day. So one option would be you can slide Sal Frelick over there. He's a capable center fielder, but he's also a gold glover in right field. Jackson Chourio came up as a center fielder through the minors, so yep. I don't think it's any surprise that they're going to try to get him some of that work now. But also just thinking long term, too, this is the guy the Brewers want to build around. And if he can be a good center fielder, they're going to want to put him out there long term, especially because I think you can, at this point, bet that he's going to be with the organization even longer than guys like Mitchell and Frelick and some of these other talented young players. I think this is probably a good move for him, too. You know, he was kind of tasked into learning corner outfield on the fly a little bit last year, and he was a good defensive center fielder in the minor leagues. And something that I don't think really gets talked about enough is if you're a good defensive center fielder, that doesn't automatically mean that playing the corner spots is going to be easy for you. It's a way different read at all three of those outfield positions. If you're used to playing straight up the middle, and now all of a sudden you're looking at different angles off the bat, playing left and right field, which he was asked to do last year, I think he's going to be comfortable out there. I don't think it's really a big deal, but not surprising that they're doing this because I do think he is going to eventually be that long-term option there. That injury to Perkins, too, I think opens that door a little bit sooner, especially in the early going. So I think it's good that they're getting him that experience back out there.
Let's talk about third base, because that's the issue where I have, where you've decided to do nothing to try and bring any type of power to third base at this point. You wrote a piece on Vinny Capra. Obviously, there's Durbin that can play there. There's Dunn that can play there. How do you see, and Monasterio, let's not forget about him. How do you see this playing out at third base?
I think right now, the way I look at it, it seems to me like Oliver Dunn and Caleb Durbin are kind of the guys to look at right now. Maybe they form a little bit of a platoon situation over there at third base, but I think one way or another, you have to count on you're not going to replace, kind of like you alluded to, the Willy Adames production in the infield from those two guys. That's going to be more of a group effort. So those are the two I'm looking at right now. I like Oliver Dunn's skill set a lot, actually. I think I created a little bit of buzz a couple of weeks ago when I tweeted that I think he's got a 5-win ceiling as a player, so he could be like 5 wins above replacement if things come together, because he swings the bat really hard. He's got a lot of power, plays good defense at third base. He's speedy. Just that combination, it's a good skill set. The problem is there's just way too much swing and miss there right now, to the point that he didn't look very close at all to tapping into that this year. So I wish they would have a higher floor guy there. That's the problem with Dunn. That's kind of where Durbin comes in a little bit. He's a high floor guy because he's got good plate discipline. Again, going to play pretty solid defense. Kind of a toss-up right now. We don't know for sure if he's going to slot in at third base or if second base is the better fit for him, and they have to do a little bit of shuffling there. But he's kind of the guy who I don't think he's ever going to be a great player, but at the very least, he's a solid player on a contending team. Probably still not who I'd prefer in a perfect world to have in a starting role, but those are the two guys you're looking at right now. And I think beyond that, you know, you can talk about Vinny Capra. He's an intriguing guy to me, but I don't think he's ever going to be more than a utility type. I think that's really the role that he's fighting for right now in spring training and is probably one of the leading candidates for because he's out of minor league options. But really, it's done in Durbin right now for me. Not a perfect tandem. I can see if I squint, though, like how the Brewers' internal projections might think that they're going to be okay there. And if you're okay there and you get enough steps forward at a bunch of other positions, then you can kind of see the vision. I think that's what they're going for. I'm not going to say that's the perfect way to approach it or the way that I don't think anyone would have hoped that the offseason would have gone, but I think that's kind of what the Brewers are thinking at this point.
If this doesn't work out at third base, because Oliver Dunn, with all due respect, had a great spring last year, and then the season started and he went away. But if it doesn't work out and they can't find an answer at third base, and if Cooper Pratt's doing his thing, he had a couple doubles today in a spring training game for the Brewers, and he's doing his thing, is there any chance he gets a cup of coffee at some point in the second half?
I would say it's pretty unlikely. My guess is they're probably going to look for a midseason upgrade on the trade market before they really go that far with wanting to give Pratt a shot. It's always a fine line with those guys, too. You don't want to rush them too quickly, but we have also seen the Brewers, you know, shoot guys through the system pretty quickly if they're producing in the minor leagues. But he's a guy who is probably a little bit further down on the depth chart. You do have a couple of guys in the organization, especially prospect-wise, who could play some third base and could maybe come up. I think Mike Bovee is probably another guy to think about.
He's got
kind
some
of
pop.
A similar category.
Yep.
You know, if you're looking at like a third base prospect kind of guy who I think could crack the big leagues this year, I'd probably put him ahead of Pratt. But I think before the Brewers go either one of those directions, they would also probably take a look at kind of what's out there for them on the trade market as well.
Well, Brock Wilken is another guy to consider. He had that horrible year last year because he got hit in the face. I think legitimately, I think if you had a crystal, well, not a crystal ball, maybe if you were wishing upon a star, Wilken would probably be that answer at first or third at some point because that dude's got a ton of power.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what they were hoping from him. He's another one of those guys who big power, but quite a bit of swing and miss there too, so. You know, those are always fun profiles to dream on, but there's usually a pretty wide range of outcomes there in terms of, you know, are they going to hit? They could be amazing, or they could be, you know, for lack of a better word, practically useless offensively in the big leagues just because there's such a wide range there. He's probably also a guy who is going to have to slide to first base eventually just because big body dude. Sometimes guys like that struggle to handle third base or struggle to stay healthy at third base. But he is an interesting guy to watch, too, not so much because I think he's going to, you know, make it all the way to the big leagues this year. But like you talked about, getting hit in the face very early on in the season is probably not a great development for a guy who's in his early 20s trying to establish himself in pro ball. He did hit really well the year the Brewers drafted him a couple of years ago. So can you get him back fully healthy, maybe mentally healthy, too, kind of further removed from that incident? You know, it'll be interesting to watch what he's able to do. Not a guy that I would necessarily count on making the big leagues this year, but definitely still a name to watch.
Time with Jack Stern, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at @BadJackStern as he joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. What about Jacob Mazurowski today? A couple of runs, 3 walks. Control, as always, an issue. Where do you see him? My projection, if I had one, would be in the rotation at AAA.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's where they start him. The Brewers have really maintain that they still see him as a starter long term, and the bullpen too is looking pretty good right now still, even though they did trade Devin Williams. They got kind of an abundance of riches in that bullpen down there, so with all that in mind, I don't think they're going to try to slide him back to relief again to start the year. I would say you're right. Probably year as a starter in Nashville, see if he can figure some things out. They do still have a little bit of time with him, too, to try to see that come together. But if we're talking long-term fit for him in the big leagues, I would still say reliever, but my guess is they're going to try to keep riding that starter thing out a little bit longer just to see if something clicks.
What about Hudson? He was the guy everybody loved at the beginning of the year, Brian Hudson, and then by the second half of the year, he was destined for the minors and never got himself back up here again to be on the playoff roster. He pitched some scoreless relief today. Does he find himself back into this bullpen again?
My guess is he will. I think that that was always kind of going to be a temporary thing, that demotion late in the year. I think it was mainly just about they wanted to see the stuff start to rebound to where it was in the beginning of the year in order for them to call him back up, and it just never happened late in the year in AAA. But he made his spring training debut today, and the StatCast tracking right now at Goodyear is not fully operational, so it's kind of spotty with which pitches it's picking up for velocity and movement, things like that. But his first pitch of the afternoon was 94 miles an hour, and that's where he was sitting at the beginning of last year compared to sitting more in that 89 to maybe cracking 91 range late in the year. The breaking ball was also 84 miles an hour early in that inning compared to 78 miles an hour, which is where it was sitting late in the year last year. So the stuff, based on that very, very small sample, we're going to need to see a little more. But from what we saw today, the stuff looks like it's back where it's supposed to be. And if the stuff is back where it's supposed to be, you really can't make any argument for keeping him out of this bullpen.
Jack, tell me what you think of the signing of Mark Canha to this roster. It's a minor league deal, obviously, but I don't see how he's not on this team on opening day.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a somewhat similar deal to when he came over here a couple of years ago at the trade deadline. Mark Canha is never going to do anything flashy for you. And he actually overperformed, I think, what a lot of people were expecting he was going to do after that trade deadline, the last time that he was in Milwaukee. But at this stage of his career, he's not going to do anything exciting, but you know that he's probably going to be a league average hitter, or at least very close to that, because he's going to work a professional at bat. He's going to see pitches. He's going to make contact. He's going to get on base, whether that's via walk or getting hit by a pitch. That was really still the MO for him last year. He only hit .240, but his on base percentage was over .340, which is what really made him still a rosterable big league hitter, still an average big league hitter last year. And, you know, when he was with the Brewers last time, it was mainly outfield because the Brewers really just needed bats anywhere at that point. And they did bring in Carlos Santana to play first base. This time around, though, I really think that, yes, Blake Perkins got hurt. So like we talked about, there's going to need to be some shuffling there. Maybe that opens up an occasional start in a corner outfield spot for Canha. But I think this is more about first base than anything else. Like, you have Rhys Hoskins there looking for a bounce back season, but also a guy who is, quite frankly, a horrible defender over at first base. You know, that's no knock against what he's accomplished offensively in his career, but you're looking for a bounce back there. Still not a good defender, though. Tyler Black has not taken to first base, and he doesn't really have any power either.
Stop with the Tyler Black stuff. Listen, I'm going to ban that name from me being on this show. Like, I want them to trade him and be done with this so badly, and they just will not do it. And then you have Jake Bowers, man. I think he had a home run today during his spring training game.
Right, right. He did. And, like, it's kind of connected to Black in a way, because I think that's why they brought Bowers back, because they're looking at that Black and Hoskins tandem, and they're seeing that, and they're like, we don't really have a real first baseman here in terms of someone who can actually go out and play passable defense at that position. So that's kind of why you bring Bowers back into that mix, and maybe you hope that, you know, that he makes more contact and that raw power and the really good plate discipline, not chasing, that all starts to click. But now that Mark Canha's in this mix, that finally gives you a guy who you're kind of thinking, okay, like, the bat is safe. It's not great, but it's safe. And we can put him at first base, and he's going to be a capable defender over there. I think that's really what this comes down to. He gives you that option where, you know, if you're in a situation where now you need a guy who's just dependable, he's not a great player, but he's dependable, you know exactly what you're going to get out of him. Mark Canha is that guy, and sometimes you need those kind of guys. So I think there's a pretty good chance he ends up breaking camp with them. Nothing set in stone. There's opt-outs in that deal because he's a veteran player who has the right to look for opportunities elsewhere if he's not going to be on that roster. But I see what the draw is here. It's just about stability. It's about safety. It's about basically having that safety net, especially at first base, but also in corner outfield in a pinch if you need it.
Jack Stern, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. Always great stuff at BrewerFanatic.com from all their writers that they have. Jack, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sparky. Good to talk to you.